I enjoyed doing this little study for tonight, and I hope you enjoy it too when I read it out to you. It's from Psalm 19, and it's called The Law of the Lord. So if you'd like to open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 19. And we're going to be reading verses 7 through to 14. Wonderful Psalm. Psalm 19, wonderful, wonderful Psalm. So Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14, we're reading. And the title of my message, as I said, is Psalm 19, The Law of the Lord. We're going to talk about the law of the Lord. You wouldn't think that would be very exciting, would you? But it is. It is. Here we go. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9 says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You know it off by heart. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to see what we can get out of this small portion of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a book called the Bible, Lord. And in that Bible, you've given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness, how we should conduct our life, how we should treat other people, how we should relate to you. It shows us everything about us. It shows us everything about you. And we pray, Lord, thanking you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, that you gave us a book that can show us the way through this dark and evil age that we live in, Lord. Just bless the people for coming tonight and bless this message to their hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. From our opening scripture tonight, I want to take a brief look at verse 7, where it is revealed that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law of the Lord in this verse refers to the doctrine of the Lord. The word law is derived from the Hebrew word translated as Torah, which denotes a precept or statute, especially the Decalogue. You know what the Decalogue is? The Ten Commandments. Or the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Old Testament. The word Torah commonly refers to the law of God and is usually translated as such. The word properly means instruction. It means instruction or precept, coming from a verb signifying to teach. It means to teach. Sometimes the word is used to refer to the entire Old Testament scriptures. In John 10:34, for example, the Lord quotes Psalm 82 and verse 6, which he includes as being part of the law. In John 10:34, it reads, Jesus answered them, that is the members of the Sanhedrin that were coming out to try and trap him. They were all gathered around him, actually getting stuck into him. It says, Jesus answered them, these fellows, and says, Is it not written in your law that I said ye are gods? He's referring to that, to Psalm 82 and verse 6. The word law is derived from a primitive root word, yara, which carries the meaning to throw something, like a stone, for example, or to shoot an arrow. In 2 Chronicles 26, verses 14 and 15, we have an example where we read, And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all host shields, and spears, and helmets, and harbijons, and bows, and slings to cast stones. He made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, and he was marvellously helped till he was strong. That's Isaiah. So that word yara means to cast something like a stone or an arrow, to shoot something. The word law is used with reference to instruction or teaching in regard to conduct. In our scripture tonight, it includes all that God has revealed to teach us and to guide us along the straight path in our lives and in our service to Him. It refers here to revealed truth. There are six descriptions in verse 7 through to 9. 7 through to 9, there's six descriptions used to describe the revealed truth of God, all referring to the same truths, but with reference to some distinct assessment about those truths themselves, or about their effect upon the human soul. I'm going to tell you about them. The six descriptions are labelled as, number one, it's labelled as the law. Number two, testimony. Number three, statutes. Number four, commandment. Number five, fear. And number six, judgments. These six descriptions or labels which have been applied to the revealed truth of God are then characterized by a particular statement in regard to the truth itself, and then the effects of that revealed truth upon the person, as we'll see described. They are described as here, of the law of the Lord, it is said, we just read out the six things. First one is the law of the Lord. It is said, A, that it is perfect, and B, that it converts the soul. Of the testimony of the Lord, it is said, A, that it is sure, B, that it makes wise the simple. Makes the simple wise. Just as well, eh? Just as well. I'm just a simple bloke from Cooktown, you see. And God, it's only the wisdom of God that I know anything about him. Right? And it's same with you blokes either, too. You know, you can be the smartest. You can be the smartest scientist in the world, but if you haven't got the wisdom of God, you're a fool. You're a fool. Anyhow, of the statutes of the Lord, it is said, A, that they are right, and B, that they rejoice the heart. Of the commandments of the Lord, it is said, A, that it is pure, and B, that it enlightens the eyes. Of the fear of the Lord, it is said, A, that it is clean, and B, that it endures forever. Of the judgments of the Lord, it is said, A, that they are true and righteous, and B, that they are more to be desired than gold, and that they are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, and that people are warned by them, and that in the keeping of them there is great reward. So all those things are in those couple of verses. In the case of verse 7, we are told that the law is perfect. The meaning is that it lacks nothing in its completeness. It is complete as a revelation of divine truth, and it is complete as a rule of conduct. And this completeness refers not only to the law of God, as said in the Decalogue and the Pentateuch, but to the whole of the divinely revealed truth, to everything. The law is absolutely and perfectly true, and it is a sure guide for man's conduct. There is nothing in the law that would lead a man or a woman into error or sin. And there is nothing vital for man to know which may not be found in that law. The effects of that perfect law is that it converts the soul. That is, it turns the soul from the ways of sin to the ways of holiness. The glory of the created works of God, the creative works of God, which can be observed in the heavens and in the firmament and in the sun, as described in the previous six verses of Psalm 19, is that those things show forth the knowledge of God around the world, and the whole world is filled with light and life as a result. The glory of the Lord, that's the glory of the creative works of God, the glory of the Lord, or the revealed truth of God, however, is that it bears directly on the soul of man, turning him from error of his way, and it leads him to pursue a life of holiness. The statement is that when the law of God is applied to the heart, or when the truth of God is made to bear on that heart, the genuine effect is seen in turning the sinner from the error of his way. Fruit is produced, confirming repentance and salvation. This effect of truth is seen everywhere that it is brought into contact with the heart of man, providing that it is received and embraced. That's the trick. We can all know the truth, but not all of us love it. Amen? So, the effect of truth is seen everywhere that it is brought into the contact with the heart of man, provided that it is received and embraced. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Don't stop. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah. To all who believe. You've got to believe it, and you've got to embrace it, and you've got to love it. Amen? By placing the conversion of the soul as number one at the top of his list, perhaps the writer of Psalm 19 intended to promote that this is the primary strategy or purpose of the revelation which God has given to mankind. While great and important effects are produced by the knowledge which goes forth from the works of God's creation, nevertheless, converting power goes forth only from the law of God or from the revealed truth. Like I said before, it's not knowledge about creation that saves people. And sometimes we can get a bit mixed up about that. We think if they're not going to believe in creation, they're not going to get saved. No, you can get saved and believe about evolution. I did. I still believed about evolution when I got saved. But it wasn't long after that that God revealed to me the truth. And I received it and loved it. And I've never believed in evolution since. I believed in creation. And God gives us something so that we can understand it. We can understand it. How does Hebrews 11 start off, Andy? Read out Hebrews 11, verse 1, please. Belief about creation does not save you. The gospel saves you. You learn about creation after you get saved. What does it say, Andy? Hebrews chapter 1, 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Thank you. By faith we understand, not know or believe, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I could never understand about creation until I got saved and heard the word of God. The Holy Spirit was able to apply that to me. And I not believed it, I understood it. It doesn't say that we believe through faith. We understood. We understand about creation because God has given us faith to believe that. Prior to our salvation, we didn't. What nonsense. God made everything out of nothing. No, nothing made everything out of nothing. That's what we believed. Anyhow, none of the effects credited to the revealed truth of God, which are listed in verses 7 and 9 of Psalm 19, are credited to the knowledge which goes forth from contemplating about God's work of creation as described in verses 1 to 6. As I pointed out in some recent messages, it is not scientific truth that converts men, but revealed truth. Men who believe everything about creation will still go to hell if they haven't believed the gospel. The second part of verse 7 in Psalm 19 tells us, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord means that which is borne witness to. It is applied to reveal truth as that which God bears witness to. In reference to the truth of what is stated, God himself gives assurance of its faithfulness. He verifies that which he declares to be true. Therefore, the term testimony is relevant to all that is revealed as being that which God upholds to be true. And it can be applied to historical truths, to the precepts or laws, or to the statements about himself, about man, about the way of salvation, or to the fallen world. On all these subjects, God has borne witness that in his word, pledging his trustworthiness as the correctness of the statements which are made. Therefore, the word testimony refers to the whole of what is revealed in his word, the scriptures. Verse 7 tells us that the testimony of the Lord is sure. It is established and firm. The testimony of the Lord is not unsettled, uncertain, or vacillating between two opinions. Like a solid rock, it is certain and so well established that it cannot be shaken. We are also told that it makes the wise simple. And when I look around, no. It makes the wise simple, eh? We'll stop there. The word translated as simple means foolishness. It's simple in the sense of being open to persuasion and being gullible. However, it can also mean spiritually inexperienced, which we all were at one time. And that is evidently what it means here in verse 7. Just spiritually inexperienced. Simple. Simple Christians haven't got everything worked out yet. Haven't read all of the Bible, probably, and haven't got it all worked out. It refers to those who need spiritual guidance and direction, who by nature are untaught and in need of instruction, but with the idea that their minds are susceptible to suggestion. Those who are naturally destitute of wisdom, the testimony of the Lord can make wise. You see? The testimony or revealed truth of the Lord imparts to them instruction that makes them wise in the knowledge of God. God's word promises that this is so. In verse 7 of Psalm 19 tonight, I'm going to close with this. Verse 7 of Psalm 19 tonight, we have read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Do we believe it? Do we believe it? We need to believe it. Amen. Let's pray and close the service. Thank you, Lord, for this brief study and your Psalms, Lord. Such wonderful stuff that you tell us, Lord, in a few verses. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to dissect a few things in there tonight, Lord, and see just how true your word is, Lord. And we can see from the evidence of just an examples in our own lives, Lord, and the people around us, we can see that your word is true, Lord, that it is sure and it is truth. And we thank you for your Bible's claim, Lord, and we agree with it. Thy word is truth. And we stand upon that, Lord. Bless the people for coming out tonight, Lord. And bless us as we close the service and sing a hymn. Bring a hymn before you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.